Hey guys, welcome to our first podcast. So this is a podcast about literally anything. We talk about different topics like life topics, philosophy, careers, jobs, culture, literally anything. And today the first topic we choose to talk about is sports. So first I think we're gonna introduce ourselves. So my name is Chloe. I'm French and I live in Bangkok, Thailand. I've lived here for some years now and I came here the first time because I was offered a modeling contract. So I started my life in Thailand as a model and now I do a little bit of everything. And I've always been a content creator, so I always made content on social media. I had a blog before. I was always writing things and taking pictures and posting about various stuff. So I had a YouTube channel before, but I just quit for some reason because I think I didn't have time to do YouTube videos. So I always wanted to get back to it. And yeah, that's why I wanted to do some like kind of long format videos. So this idea of a podcast came to me because I wanted to do something where we very chill, like talk about random things on in a very casual setting. But I just couldn't see myself talking alone. So that's why I thought that First would be a great person to do this podcast with, because he talks a lot. He has a lot of things to say. He knows a lot of things. So we always have like very great conversations. So I thought it would be interesting to share this with you guys. And yeah.
Yes. Okay. Thank you. This video is not sponsored by Starbucks.
Starbucks.
Yes.
we never go to Starbucks. Like we go like once in a while.
Yeah.
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 Anyway. So, yeah.
Yeah. I think for YouTube, you did it when you were a teenager, right?
Yeah. I was like 18, 19.
Oh, okay.
So late teen.
Oh, okay. I thought you were like a teenager, like 15.
No, 16. No, I was a bit older this. I was a bit older.
Okay, right. Okay, introducing myself. My name is First. I'm Thai. I think I've just been back here a few years. Before that, Singapore, Australia, US.
Mm.
I like to state I'm not rich. Despite saying all those countries, you know.
Yeah, like usually when people travel a lot, you think that they're super wealthy, that they can afford to move from one country to another country. But this is not your case.
Yes, that's for another topic. I'm currently working in a company, software company, not a software developer. I also have my own marketing agency, so I guess two full-time jobs. But on top of that, I'm also an athlete in fencing, currently top 10, number 8th. So yeah, watch out, you know, the 7 guys in the rank.
So yeah, he's definitely more sports person than I am. But I chose this topic because, you know, I think it's something that everybody knows and everybody do or wants to do or used to do. So it's very relatable. And I think it's just a good topic to start because it's pretty easy one.
Accessible.
Doesn't require a lot of research and you know, you can just talk about your personal experience. So we're going to start by talking about the meaning of sport in our lives right now and if we do anything. So he started by saying that he's a fencer. So do you do only fencing or do you do any other things?
I gym as well. I gym before I started fencing. So I started gymming around 17, I think, or 18. I think it was around 17 with my grandfather officially. So we started going to gym together. Because he said he always wanted to work out. And at that time, I just came back from the US. And then the US has pretty big culture of working out. So I wanted to work out too once I came back from the exchange program. So that's how we got started in some shitty gym in Hat Yai, which is my hometown. Yeah. So that's how I got started. And fencing came by a few years after. I think when I was 20, 21. Actually, maybe when I was 19. Sorry about that. First year in university in Australia. Then there was a fencing club. I always wanted to try fencing. So I signed up and I just never really left. I just kept doing it. Yeah, I think I'm the only one left from my class that is still actively doing fencing. The rest is like quit or moved on, you know.
And why did you choose fencing? Like, how did you ever hear about fencing? Heard about it?
It's truly not an accessible sport, and you don't really see it unless you really look for it. This was during the time in the US. I was looking for some stuff to do. I don't know if I Google the list of sports or I Google list of interesting hobbies. But I was Googling it and I noticed fencing and I was like, oh, that's interesting, using swords. So I read more about it and I really wanted to try because they said it's like physical chess. During the time I was playing chess on chess.com. I still play now.
A lot.
Yeah, a lot. Too much. And I really wanted to try it, but then you needed to buy your own equipment, at least in Seattle, which is where I was living at the time. So I held on to it that if I had a chance, I would try it. Then Australia came and then the club had all the equipment, so I borrowed. So I tried that. That's how I got started.
Okay, so you just basically Googled it and then you were like, oh, this is an interesting one, I should try.
Yes, that's kind of how I approach it. I did taekwondo as a kid as well. That's also how I...
Oh, you did taekwondo?
Yes. For taekwondo, there was a class, summer class. This when I was like first grade or second grade, I think it was first grade. And then the teachers would give us like summer classes if you wanted to take. And then I was reading through the summer classes and I was like, oh, there's taekwondo. That's cool. So I joined. I actually invited one or two of my friends to join. The New Jeans guy, he joined with me. New Jeans guy is like a friend of mine. He really likes New Jeans, so I just called New Jeans guy.
Then I know who it is because I remember. Oh, the New Jeans guy.
Yeah. So he and I, we did taekwondo together. And I quite liked it. I'm always drawn to...
Competition?
Combat sports.
Combat sports.
Yeah, it was since I was a kid. And then we did taekwondo. He didn't continue. It was a summer class teaching at our school. But I continued, so I asked my grandfather, could you scout around the town, find whatever taekwondo school, and then let's go. I did until like 9th or 10th grade. So I had two masters or teachers. First one was a Korean guy, which was weird because how the fuck did he end up in Hatyai? There's not a lot of foreigners in Hatyai.
Not the most famous city.
Yeah, it's a second tier city. Was teaching there for a while, and then I liked him, and then I went on to green belt, and then he passed away from a car accident.
Oh shit.
Yeah
rest in peace.
I wasn't even sad. I was like, oh, class canceled, how nice.
It's very sudden, right?
Yeah, it was really sudden. The concept of death really hit me. I was like, oh, okay. And then I stopped taekwondo for a while, and after that I was like, okay, I wanted to try again. So I went to a different school, and then the lessons were somehow different. So I had to restart taekwondo again. I was like, what the fuck? So I would just...
So you lost interest.
Yeah, because I think when you do combat sports, you do it because you want to fight people. So when there's no one to fight, you know, you're just kicking sandbag or whatever. So I left. And then I never did any sports again until started gymming and then fencing. Yeah.
Okay.
There's a bit of Muay Thai in between. But because I was moving around quite a lot during the time, I didn't really complete my...
It's hard to have a routine or like a sport when you just move. Like during my years when I was a model moving from city to city, so I've been traveling for about 8 years, staying like 3 months, 4 months, maybe sometimes a little more in a country, then moving to another one. And sometimes I was trying to, you know, to some sport or something. So I would look up for free classes or free trials and try some dancing there, gym there, some yoga there. But then you can never commit to a sport because you know you're going to move somewhere else. But before that, so for me, so compared to you, I wasn't really into sports, but my mom, when I was very, very young, like I was 4 or 5 years old, my mom, she signed me up for dancing classes. So I did modern jazz, which is also known as contemp dance. When I was like 4 or 5, like there's videos of me when I was a baby doing dancing. So many. And I think it was cute at the time. And then I danced until I was 12 or 13. So quite a long time. But then I don't really know what happened. I just quit. I think because I was good at dancing. Like I was good. But for me, I mean, dancing wasn't like, it wasn't like I didn't do it to be the best dancer. You know, I did it because it brings me some joy. And I was kind of like doing something artistic, because dancing, you know, you have to, sometimes you have to come up yourself with the choreography. So you have to be creative. Like, what move should I do next? What should I do here? Like, you have to think of the flow and how it all goes together. So it's really creative and also physical. So I really like it, but that's the only sport I did. At school, I had tried a few sports, because we have like about 4 hours of physical education at school.
Per week?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Is it a lot?
Yeah.
Is it a lot?
My school, we have, I think, 1 or 2 hours per week.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, yeah.
But for us, we could choose sports that we wanted to do.
Mm. But I wasn't really good at sports. Like, I was never really great. I think after I quit dancing, I was just like, I don't want to do any sport anymore. There was this thing that happened to me. I was like, I don't want to do this again. And every time I had sport at school, I was like, oh no, like, I don't want to go. I don't want to do sport. And I was really bad. I was one of the last ones every time we had the, you know, competitive event or whatever. So I was really not into sports at all. But then I became a model. And eventually, because, you know, modeling requires stamina, it requires strength, it requires also to have just a nice body, right? I was surrounded by these girls and guys who constantly went to gym, did yoga, did physical activity. And of course, as a model, I want to be the best in my job. You know, I want to do good. So I saw them doing this and I was like, okay, I also have to do it now because this is my job. I remember starting by just doing some very light Pilates and stretching and no weight training in the beginning because I couldn't go to gym all the time, but I was doing at home with a yoga mat, like doing some things. And actually, I was using moves that I learned from dancing as well, because modern jazz contempt has like yoga moves mixed to dancing. So that's how I started to be okay with sports again, I guess, because of modeling. Yeah. Yeah.
Could I track back?
Yeah.
Trace back to what you were saying.
Yes.
You would stretch for an hour?
Before dancing, yeah. An hour stretching, like...
So the class would be 2 hours?
I think it was 2 hours, 2 hours 30. Yeah.
Oh.
Once a week, so not that much. Once a week in the beginning, then I became better, so I took another class, so I had 2 times a week.
Mm-hmm.
Usually we stretch because, not just to prepare, but also because we want to increase our flexibility.
Yeah, yeah.
I couldn't be more flexible than like I am now.
Hmm.
So.
I think there's a way to put yourself to stretch, but depends on the teacher. For Taekwondo, we had to stretch as well. But the teachers were quite rough. Like, they would push me to, like, reach.
Yeah, they would push your legs and stuff, right?
Yeah. I could kick really high. I could still kick quite high now. Fencing, you don't really need to kick high, but I could kick above my head, for example. If it's front kick, but if it's, like, side kick, I cannot do it anymore, I think. But the teachers help push through this. So I wonder, I think if you push yourself, you should be able to still.
Yeah, I think if you stretch every day.
I bought a stretching course before. I don't know why. Actually, I know why, because I wanted to do the split.
Yeah, everybody wants to do the split at some point in their lives.
Yes.
They want to impress people. Hey, I can do the split.
For me, it was like maybe I could extend the.
Your lunch?
My lunch in fencing. Yeah.
I mean, my mom, she's the one who, you know, signed me up for the dancing. So I have to thank her, I think, for thinking of doing this, because it was a good thing. It was healthy to have a sport routine.
Did you ask for it, or did she just like...
I don't remember. Like, because I was so young, right? I was 5 or 4. So I don't remember asking her, hey, I want to dance.
Yeah, I think parents play a big role in this type of thing.
Yeah.
There's even... a researcher, and once again, feel free to research this on your own. I can't remember everything. There was a researcher who believes that if you get your kids to start something when they're young, they'll become prodigies in that. So he trained his two or three kids to play chess, and they all became chess grandmasters, proving, I guess, his theory somewhat that.
He just wanted to prove his theory.
Yeah. We need to read more about this, but it's quite interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of Olympians, national athletes, international athletes, whatever, they start really young. And their first memories are generally with sports. Like some of my fencing friends who started really young national level, that first memory is like that. Like, all I remember from when I was young, I was already holding a sword, like fencing blade.
Actually, yeah, my mom, she wasn't doing anything herself. Like, I have never seen her doing any sport ever. She has never told me about doing anything when she was young. So it's very random that she just signed me up for dancing. I think she did care more about me because I was her child, you know, so she wanted the best for me. I think that's why maybe I just gave up at some point, because she put me there, but I wasn't inspired in my daily life by anyone who was doing sports. Or maybe I wasn't inspired by them either. So I just gave up thinking it wasn't so important. So yeah. So I cannot say they give me a very good example or very good, you know. They were not like people I looked up to.
Do you think being a teenager, because you quit around 12, 13, being a teenager kind of puts you out of the hobbies?
Yeah, definitely. Because at that age, like 12, 13, I started to be depressed.
You told me.
Yeah. So I was very exhausted. And it was not just about dancing, because also any sport that I was doing at school at that time made me so exhausted. Like, I felt like I became weak or something that I couldn't handle anymore. Like, after every dance session, I was so tired. I just wanted to go home and sleep. And that's why I was like, okay, I cannot do this anymore. Like, it just felt like I couldn't. Even though I was very young and very healthy and everything. So maybe my mental health or something made me quit, because it made me believe that I couldn't anymore. Like, I wasn't strong
couldn't
enough.
Hack it. Yeah, yeah. Diet. Could be diet, could be stress.
Could be diet, I don't know. Because I was young, I don't even know what I was doing, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I was not medically diagnosed to be depressed. I think you were, right, if you could share.
I didn't go to a doctor, but my parents, they talked about it to my teachers. And my teacher said that they noticed something, some signs, and they were thinking that something was wrong.
Okay.
But I do remember going to the school psychologist or something, or social person.
From counselor?
Counselor, yeah. So I think I talked with a counselor or something, but I didn't go to a psychologist.
I had similar situation, but not depression. It was more like, I might have told you before. So there was a week where I competed a lot, university level events. And then when you had university level sports event, you kind of party after the event. Like, so every day there would be partying, because we would be competing in a different city in Australia. It's not in our home city. It could be. It depends on the year. It rotates. The fencing team was really nerdy. None of us went to party. So we just stay home, but we watch, like, I think it was like the Chinese Bachelor or something.
And like then TV reality show?
Yeah. And we were just drinking beer and stuff, but we slept late. It was equivalent to partying, but we were just in our area. We didn't go out. So it was like 1 week of competitions and then sleeping late. And then one day I woke up, I felt completely exhausted. And I was like, what the fuck? What's going on? It was the worst exhaustion I ever had. Like, I could barely walk.
Wow.
And then I dragged myself to see my friend. And so I went to check with the doctor. And then the doctor said, it's because I exhausted glycogen.
Glycogen.
Yeah. I can't remember what it was, but essentially, for my understanding, if you exercise a lot, or let's say you do hike, you do marathon, your body uses the energy, the nutrients, and then once all those run out, then they take glycogen, which is kind of like your last resort of energy. Once that's gone, that's when you feel completely exhausted. So yeah, he just told me to eat properly. I don't know if you're dancing, linking all this back. I don't know if you're feeling exhausted after dancing was because of overtraining, bad diet.
Now that you mention it, because I was the moment of my life where I was depressed, and I actually had difficulties eating in the morning. So basically, I was skipping breakfast, because otherwise it would make me sick. So now that you say this, if I had class, like school, dance class in the morning, and I wasn't eating breakfast before,
yeah,
I think probably I would feel very, very tired after. Yeah. Like, that makes sense. Like, now I don't skip breakfast if I go to gym before. Like, I don't go to gym without eating before.
Yeah.
Nowadays, people, they do sport mostly because either they want to have a good body, which is okay. Mm. But mostly because they want to be in good shape, because they want to live long, they want to be strong. So this I also learned like later in my late years that mm-hmm. sports can actually be really good for you. Because as I said, my parents, they never told me about this. So I had no clue that sport was actually good. But then when I started modeling and, you know, my roommates were like, yeah, you need to do sport because it's going to make you stronger. You're mm-hmm. going to have more energy. It's going to be so good for you. Only benefits, benefits, benefits. I was like, okay, of course I have to do sport. And right now I feel all those benefits, you know. I go to gym. I do some Pilates, yoga. I do weight lifting. And I like to do it because it gives me a good mindset. Like, I feel I'm committed to something. It makes me proud of myself. When I go, when I finish my workout, it's a moment where I focus on one thing, which uh-huh. is working out. So I feel, you know, very, very good, like focusing on one task. There's nothing, you know, distracting me from doing it. So it feels great. I remember, like, there was a day not long time ago this week where I was feeling super tired. Was it 2 days ago, 3 days ago?
2-3 days yeah. ago.
Oh. I was feeling so tired. I was so sleepy. I took a nap or whatever. And I was like, oh my God, I don't want to go to gym. But then I went to gym. And after that, I felt so much better. It's probably is it the dopamine? Or
could be. It's also, we were stuck in a room all day working.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Even though initially you didn't want to do it.
Mm-hmm. Mm. But for you, like, I feel like, because I know you, right? Mm. Support, fencing, everything. You do it more because you want to get better at what you do, right?
Hmm.
More than for health concern.
I barely think about the health angle. I just want to be good, the best.
And is there anything you don't like about like sport or fencing?
I don't like fencing drills.
Drills,
exercises. I think Mike Tyson also didn't really like his boxing exercises, you know.
Mm.
It's a necessity. You have to do them to be good. I understand that. That's why I do them.
Mm.
But when I do them, I'm committed. Like compared to other students, other kids or adults, I'm putting a lot of effort into doing it right.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same with meditation, right? It's not particularly fun, but you just have to do it. Fencing exercises or any exercises in sports should be harder than your actual matches, I think.
Mm.
So that when you do actual matches, it should be easy. Like most tournaments in fencing, when I do them, I barely break a sweat. I only start breaking sweat when it's like later rounds, like top 32, top 16 onwards. And I'm like, okay, this is getting tiring, Oh, but
actually, when I was dancing back then, when I was young, I felt the same. The first hour of stretching, and of course, we also did some drills.
Yeah.
Like, how do you say in English? Like, pashasi, everything. Like, you know, when you... you run not run, but walk or do some drills like to warm your muscle, to warm your hip.
Mm.
I don't know how you call them in English. I just know in French.
Aerobic, dynamic stretching.
Dynamic stretching, stuff like that. I don't know. But we were doing a lot of small exercises to warm up and you know, warm the muscle up. And then after 1 hour, we were all dead. We were like, oh no, we have to dance now. Now we have to start the real thing. It's so exhausting.
Yeah.
But necessary.
Yes.
Sport also for me, it helped me because not only due to modeling, but in general, I think my form, my posture, I always had some problems with like ankles, knees, back. I was a nerd when I was a kid, so I was always on my computer like this. I wasn't very conscious about it. Like, I didn't really care much about my posture back then. But then when I started to do modeling, I was more conscious because, you know, when you model, you have to be straight, you have to check your pose, how you look like, it's very important. So I started to see all those things that look wrong about my body. And I was like, maybe I need to fix this. This is not normal. This is not okay. And then I realized that by doing gym or weightlifting, yoga, you can actually improve those problems and you can make your body look and feel better. So doing all of this exercise, it improved my back pain, my neck pain so much. And now I'm like, I'm going to Warwick's Health to train and improve my glutes, yeah. My hip also, but my glutes. Because one of my glutes is not strong enough, so I have some issues that I need to fix. So yeah, sport is very important. Mm. And I don't know if you have similar experiences, maybe it made you feel better or solve some problem you had in your body.
Yeah, before that, Warwick sells a physical therapy / performance training clinic or studio, however you want to call it. So they have both trainers and physiotherapists, and I guess some form of doctors in the. That's what she meant by Warwick Health.
In Bangkok.
Yes. I play a lot of games when I was a kid.
Yes.
Yeah, I was kind of like geeky playing a lot of games. I play a lot. Yeah, a lot. But I think my chair was okay. My posture was okay when I played. Like my grandma always walked around. She always corrected my posture.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, yeah.
That's good.
That's like the only conversation we would have.
Stand straight.
Yeah, exactly. Well, when we were eating. I only have the knee pain. Or before that, I was kind of a scrawny kid. Even though I did taekwondo, I wasn't really like a fit kid. I was like super skinny, like bone skinny.
Yeah.
Mostly because I didn't eat well enough. I didn't really skip breakfast like you, but I, as a kid, my relationship with food was different. I think a lot of Asian families, they eat together. My was different because I grew up with my grandparents, so they would eat really fast. Or they eat at different, they ate at different times than I did. So most of the times, I would venture out food by myself. So I would go to 7-Eleven, I would go to a restaurant by myself as a kid, or I would go with my grandfather, then I would eat. My grandfather would watch me eat. Yeah, so I kind of order whatever foods I want. I was quite spoiled. So I didn't really eat a lot, or I didn't eat healthy foods, I just ate whatever. So I was always like scrawny. I think that was kind of the only problem that I had. My diet only started getting better when I started gymming. Because I started learning about
nutrition.
The nutrition. Because I bought different programs. And then I was one of those people, when I bought the programs, I would just read the entire thing. So I would learn about the philosophy behind each program. That's one. It's called Greek God by Greg O. Gallagher. I find him super cringy. But I get his persona. Like his online persona. That he's trying to sell, that type of stuff. But I tried his program. It was quite effective. I tried fasting even before most people tried it. It was back then when people were still like skeptical.
Yeah, it was not trendy.
Yeah, yeah. My family kept sending me shit about, you know, eating breakfast and stuff. And then I was like, you know, let me try it.
So it was mostly good.
Yeah, mostly good.
Good positive changes for you when you started to do fencing and everything. It's very important to talk about nutrition when it comes to sport, because it was only recently, like maybe 3-4 years ago, that I realized that I have issues with my iron intake. So that's also when I was actually really into sports. Like 3-4 years ago, I was going to gym like super late at night, like midnight or something. But I was doing a lot. Like
I used to do that.
Yeah, I was going like 3-4 times a week. Like I was very serious. I was running also at the stadium at night. Like I was actually very, very active. I started to work out a lot, but then my diet wasn't really great at the time. And I started to have like some symptoms, like feeling tired, having this, that. And then everything was linked to my iron deficiency. Everything was linked to my iron deficiency. And now I'm super careful about it. Like I try to have enough protein daily. I've never drank that many protein shakes than this last year, than 2024. Like I drink all the time. And I feel great. I feel better. And then I feel also my muscle growing. Like I see the change in my body. And if you want to do sport, you have to get the right nutrition. You have to either see a nutritionist or learn about these things, because it goes together. And if you have a bad diet, you are at risk of, you know, hurting yourself, getting injuries or getting sick. But I mean, for me, sport is still like kind of chill, you know. Like I unlike you, I've never really been interested in competition. I'm kind of scared because it makes me stressed. Like competition for me is stressful, so that's one thing, one side of sports that I don't really like. But I think I respect people who do like sports at the national level or like competition level. Is very inspiring, and I found that because they're committed, it's super cool. Like to you see them, you know, they have a goal and then they do everything to reach that goal. I think it's super cool. That's definitely not something I would do because I don't like it. Like I'm more focused on improving myself for myself, let's say. So it's a bit of a different point of view.
I think it might come down to your relationship with stress.
Yeah.
How do you see stress, right? Because competing is very stressful, but I like it. Would I do it every day? Maybe sometimes, depending on the mood, right? But it's like when you play games and you play ranked mode.
Which is an e-sport, right?
It's stressful. Or you're playing with your friends, but we're playing on like high level. We all stress, but then it's night level of stress.
It's a good stress.
Yeah, it's good stress. So we have good relationship, like me and my friends, with competition stress. We would have friends who are not comfortable with this. They don't like the stress level. So we would have friends who never play with us because we would play on the ranked mode or we play on higher difficulty if it's PC games.
Yeah, if you asked me to join, I would be like, no.
Yeah.
So I don't want to do it.
Yeah, it's just our relationship with stress, how we see it. I see it as a challenge and then I want to experience it. When it's too easy, I get
bored.
Yeah, and then I feel cranky, like I'm insulting myself almost. Like, I know I can do better. I think I'm one of the healthier athletes or gamers because I don't really shit talk myself. You would have athletes or people like, oh, hit themselves, or they would say like, oh, you're dumb. I talked to myself, but it was nice. Like, okay, that was a mistake. Oh, why did that happen? But it was in a calm tone. Like, I was having like a conversation in my head.
It's good.
Yeah. I just kind of learned later on that some people actually do this a lot. Especially like some athletes, they will hit themselves, they will they'll hit themselves, they'll break their equipment, like in tennis where you see people hit their rackets. So I think I have a pretty healthy relationship with stress and with competitions in general. And that's kind of how I like to do it. I'd like to put myself in those situations, but just to see how well I perform. Yeah. The thing that truly changed the whole gaming for us was Skype. Oh. So we would have Skype. So we would have Skype call almost every day. Then we would go into Warcraft, and then play
Warcraft.
Yes, Dota 1.
Yeah,
that was a game. We would play a few other games, and we would call each other on Skype.
There was something before Skype, right? That software you can talk online while playing games. You remember?
I can't remember. That was TeamSpeak after it.
TeamSpeak. It was after Skype. I thought it was before Skype TeamSpeak.
I can't remember, but for me, my friends started using TeamSpeak. But yeah, it didn't last long for them.
A lot of my friends were using TeamSpeak. Yeah. On this topic, I used to play games too, like online games, MMORPGs, like Ragnarok and shit.
Mm.
But it's funny because my relationship to games is the same. I hated to do PvP. Too stressful. Like, I didn't want to be killed. Like, I didn't want to be bad and then they kill me and then they think I'm not good. I don't know how to play. Like,
it's your relationship with stress. I can see it now. Because you cannot become good from the beginning. When I started fencing, I lost everyone. Man, woman, children, old people for like 6 months straight.
Yeah, which is natural, right?
Yeah.
It's natural. Like, you start, you're not very good and you learn.
But you would have people who are like good from the game because their brain just clicks with the sport. For me, I can lose 1,000 times and it's okay. I know that maybe it's an ego thing as well. I know that I can do anything if I put enough efforts into it.
Mm-hmm.
Like I can master anything, I can learn anything. It just gives me some time and then give me some guidance. I'll find the right teacher and then I'll figure out how to master this. It's okay to lose. I mean, you feel bad, but then it pushes you to come back.
But so for me, I don't see the reward or so in this. Competing with people or like PvP with a guy who's, you know. I don't feel, if I win, I'm going to be happy, but I'm not going to be like, that's what I wanted, you know. I just don't want to die. It's not that I want to kill the other person when I do a PvP, like a one-on-one, right? I just don't want to die.
Really different mindset. Yeah, go on.
Yeah, and for sports, I guess, I mean, it's not a game. You don't kill people like when you do sports. Yeah. You know, maybe at fencing, you hit people. But for me, I think it's also because the end goal is just like, I want to do it like for my well-being. I don't enjoy if I win over someone or if I'm better than someone. So I'm not attracted to, like, for example, this kind of combat sport. Yeah, like, yeah. I know it's not going to bring me joy. The joy I would find if I did, like, fencing, it would come from being good. I'm like, oh, wow, I can do this, I can do that. Like, I would be proud of myself if I can get better and I can master some skills. It would be, cool, I can do this. Like, look, you know, like, I would be proud to show it off.
Different athletes will have different motivations.
Mm.
Yeah. For yours, it might be casual, but even then, I feel like if I were your coach somehow for fencing or whatever sports, right, it's to focus more on the techniques and focusing on more on overcoming the opponent's techniques, I guess, rather than the person themselves. Because for me, when I fence with someone, it becomes quite personal. I want to, like, I wouldn't say dominate, but I want to overcome this person. So, but for your case, it might have to be on the techniques, might have to be like, oh, different scenarios, what do you do? More like on the process itself, maybe. Maybe we'll come back and talk to this.
You want to coach me?
I mean, not you, I mean other students.
Me!
If you want to learn, yes, sign up.
As a hobby.
As a hobby. Because I have a friend who's an Olympian from Singapore. So she's like one of the, she does epic fencing, same weapon category as me. She doesn't come off as like competitive in the same category as I am. When she fences, I don't feel the personal hatred or aggression from her. I feel like she's just really process driven or methodical. I'm not saying the word right.
But so she's focused on her, what she does rather than...
This scenario happens, what do I do when the attack comes this way?
So it's really like a mental
thing. Yeah, I mean, I do that type of exercise as well when I see the opponent comes. But then I think her drive is more to like mastering all these moves. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I need to watch her interview.
Yeah, she must be doing a lot of interviews.
Yeah. It's just more like calm and casual.
Hmm.
Compared to some athletes where you see like they're like, fuck yeah, like you
the
have
scream, I'm the champion.
Yeah, that's why I'm champion.
That's why I'm champion.
Yeah, that's offensive with us. Funny.
So cute.
Cat has emerged.
Yeah, talking about fencing, there's a TV show that is already on TV.
Yes.
Right? About fencing in Thailand. So that's a Thai drama show. When they offer you the role, like, what was your reaction? Like, were you surprised? Because fencing is not a really, like, it's not a Thai sport for sure. It comes from, like, Europe, France, Italy. What do people think of
fencing
here?
Yeah. I think it's too niche. Once again, it goes back to accessibility. And you don't really see fencing being played, right? You need to go into some buildings to see it. It's not always well publicized. Compared to other sports. So yeah, not a lot of people know it. I don't know if it's growing or not. I do not have the statistics. It's hard to say. For major tournaments, there's obviously a lot in Europe. There's also one in Qatar, I think. A few in the Middle East, whereas internationally recognized, you can get world ranking from that. Back to the question about the acting. Yeah, so I don't know why they started doing fencing as a TV show. I think they got inspired by the South Korean one. So in South Korea, there was a K-series where the lead characters do saber, which is one of the fencing equipment, fencing weapons.
Do epee.
Yeah, I do epee.
This TV show, I think it would be a way for Thai people to learn more about fencing because I think most of them, they don't know about it. Right?
Yeah, I agree. In Bangkok, there's a lot of fencing clubs, at least 4. There's a few provinces that have it. Chiang Mai has a few, I think. Nearby provinces close to Bangkok also have it. So not a lot, right? It's not sports where like, oh, I want to play basketball. I'm sure there's one in each city. Yeah, or Muay Thai.
Football.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, I think fencing is it's not that big here, but it's bigger than I thought because there's a lot of tournaments and clubs. About France, well, I mean, obviously it's really big and it was in the Olympics of this year. My dad, he always watched the Olympics, so I knew about fencing. But I think the most popular sports in my country, in France, would be football because we have the national Ligue 1, Ligue 1, which is the biggest national event for football in France. Cycling is actually very big in France because we have what we call the Tour de France. So it's like a tour of the whole country by bicycle. This is the most famous, I think, sport event apart from the Olympics. This is the second biggest event because people like to watch Tour de France because they show it on TV, right? And it's during summer, so usually during the holidays when people don't work, they just sit on, you know, in front of their TV and then watch athletes cycling all around France. So you can actually see super beautiful landscapes. You see like old villages, towns, you know, you see such beautiful things. So it's not just a sport or it's not just the cycling thing, but it's also the whole event that makes you travel all around France. It's very family oriented. This place is nice. I would like to go there on vacation or something. You know, you discover stuff. And I think for foreigners or tourists, it's also a big event because they get to discover country as well as joining a national event where everybody's like, yeah, showing up and, you know, and have a good mood and kind of like similar to the Olympics of this year. If I think of my close friends or family or people around me who did sports, first of all, not a lot of them did sports. Like I cannot even say, like mention a friend who's now an athlete or national or do this as a competitive level. I don't know anyone personally. But my cousin, he was doing rugby. Rugby is also kind of popular. And I think a lot of kids back then, when I was young, they were into football. Like a lot of kids, especially the like modest, poor class people, they would do a lot of football. Like it's really a way to climb to the top, you know, because you don't need much to football. You just need to train, practice. You don't have to buy equipment like fencing, for example.
Yeah, yeah,
like eventually, there's very inspiring stories from footballers in France, you know, and everybody knows like Zidane, Thierry Henry, like big figures of football, and they make you, you know, feel like you can achieve the same things and get a lot of money because it's also a really well-paid job.
Yeah, I like the system in these sports in a way that it can sustain the athletes. You can get paid to do it, and then, yeah, you can really live out of it compared to fencing. That's really not, you do it out of love. Even if you're national fencer, you didn't get paid a lot. Yeah, football is also one of our biggest sports. I don't know if it's football or running. Running is also... When I think of my friends, similar to your case, right? I have more friends who are more athletes, obviously because of fencing, but I also have friends who run a lot competitively. Muay Thai is big in Thailand.
Yeah. I think Muay Thai is big, but it's more... It's big because tourists hear about it.
It's get pushed by tourists.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of money as well from tournaments. One championship, Ratchadamnern Stadium also have a lot of money. You can get 100K in Thai baht, and that's a lot for them. Or a lot more, right? Or you can get up to millions if it's one championship.
I think there's so many more things we could say on this topic. It was a very nice discussion, and I learned more about you. I think you also learned more about me. And yeah, we talk about a lot of things. It was very interesting to compare our different cultures also. Thank you so much for watching this podcast. If you like it, please follow me on YouTube, on Twitch, on Instagram, whatever social media. We put the link there. And the next one hopefully will be a live stream. So let's, you know, make this podcast entertaining. Feel free to ask us any question, leave in the comment or join the live stream to be able to interact with us. And we would love to see you there and get to know you.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's it.
Hopefully we'll be like Joe Rogan, you know, 3 hours podcast.
I wish I could do that.
What the fuck are you? I mean, I listened to some of them before, but god damn, it's long.
It's so long. Thank you so much. Bye-bye. See you soon.